I'm really excited to start this call right now at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 Eastern Time. I'm here in New York. This is Executive Consultant Jay Emma from New York, and I'm really excited to be on this call and to host this call and to interview Mary M. Wado. She's a dear friend, and she's an incredible leader, an incredible woman, somebody who's brilliant, somebody who's very successful. She cares about people. She's an incredible person. Her and her husband, Richard, are good friends of mine, so I'm really looking forward to spending a few minutes with her. It's not too late. I want to remind everyone on this call, it's not too late to text someone right now. If you have someone who's not on this call, if you think of someone last minute that you can just send a text message to, let them know they can get on the call and listen to someone who's totally financially free and teaching other people how to do it. She's sharing her insight over the last 10 years. I know we do have Mary on the call. I'm really excited to have this time here with her. So maybe we can see. Mary, are you on the call right now with us?
I am, Jay.
All right. So for those of you who are new, really excited to have Mary here. Mary M. Wado is a top income earner in our company. She's won multiple awards, been on multiple five-star trips as a top leader and a top performer in the company. I think the pinnacle award in our company is the Thompson Leadership Award, which is handpicked by Jerry Thompson Jr., who's our CEO and one of our co-founders of the company. And that award is only given out to one person every year. And a few years back, Mary M. Wado was given that Thompson Leadership Award, which in my opinion is the highest award that you can be given in this company. But on a personal level, I'm very close friends with her and Richard, and this Richard and Mary are cream of the crop, top-notch people. They care about people deeply. Their lives are dedicated to making other people better. And I'm just really excited to be able to spend a few minutes with you, Mary. Looking forward to hearing you share some things. And so maybe just for the sake of people that haven't heard your story, or maybe even for those of us who have, we need to listen with new ears, and because we're amongst a rare accomplishment of what you've done in this business and what you've done for your family and what you've done for so many other people, I'm personally thankful for. So maybe you can just share a little bit of your story and introduce yourself and talk about maybe in addition to your story, maybe a little bit of before and after, how things are different now, 10 years later, because I know you just celebrated 10 years in Ambit Energy as well. So everyone, enjoy. This is really exciting to listen. Mary, thanks for being on the call.
Yeah, it's always an honor. Thanks, Jay, to be invited on the call. It's been a crazy 10 years, and the 10 years have just flown by so fast. Richard and I were actually reminiscing about it, but you know, we started this business. I actually was not open to it. I had left a career that I loved in engineering. I absolutely loved crunching numbers and doing nerdy stuff and spreadsheets. And I worked for a great company. I had great colleagues that I loved working with, challenging work. I made incredible money, but I worked all the time. I remember going to work and it was dark, and coming home and it was dark again, and not seeing my one daughter at the time, days, sometimes weeks, it seemed like I didn't see her. And I thought, man, there's got to be a better way. I didn't bust my tail to get my engineering degree to have absolutely no life. And so my husband and I got into the mortgage business really because my sister begged me to help her. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do so I could have more flexibility. And we did that. And the first year was awesome. But as our business grew, our flexibility went out the window, and we eventually found ourselves with multiple offices in multiple states that we owned or managed. We had hundreds of people who worked for us, and we just traveled all the time. I remember working 60, 70 hours a week. I remember when Valentine's Day, and Richard and I had intended to go to dinner, and we're not big on Valentine's Day, but we thought we would at least grab dinner. We were at the office until 10:30 at night. And it just, you know, it was not the kind of life I wanted to have. And I really wanted out of the mortgage business. So I thought, you know what, I don't think you're ever going to have money and flexibility. I just really thought that was a fantasy. And I remember my good friend Terry Hammack walking into my office one day and saying, I have got a great business for you. Mind you, when she walked into my office, I had just had my second child, Vivian, and I was nursing Vivian, and I was on the phone with the bank because one of our loans was about to go bust, and when a loan goes bust, all those weeks of working on it, you're not getting paid for any of that work. And I had a loan officer sitting across the desk from me. We're trying to piece it together. So, you know, just paint the picture. I'm nursing my daughter. I'm on the phone with the bank. I'm across the desk from me as a loan officer. And Terry comes to my office and says, I got a great business for you. And I told her, you have got to be kidding me. There's just no way. I am completely not interested. I'm not even open to looking. And, you know, the thing about that was, I think about how we train people now. And I always tell people, leverage your relationship. If Terry had said, would you please look at this for me? And I would have looked at it. But she wanted me to look at it for me, and I wasn't interested for me. I was already tapped out. I was done with business ownership. I didn't want to look at another business. And fortunately for us, John had called, her husband John called me and said, listen, I know you told Terry no multiple times. I got it. But we met this guy in your office, and he was super friendly and charismatic. Do you mind if we talk to him about Ambit? And I said, of course not. Here's his name. Here's his number. And then a few days later, the four of us had dinner, and John looked at Richard and said, listen, your friend's probably going to come in the business, and I think he's going to do really well. Do you want us to make all the money? You want to make some money too? And Richard pulled out his credit card and slapped it on the table, and he said, put us in the business. And I still was not interested. I said, hey, you do it. It's your deal. You know, don't talk to me about meetings. Don't talk to me about people. And I still was not interested. And I tell you that because there's so many great nuggets in that, because we always talk about going into someone's sphere of influence, getting the introduction, getting into their list. And that's exactly what they did. And we got started and Richard signed up. I still was not interested. Months went by and we got our very first residual check and it was $12. And I looked at Richard and I thought, have you lost your mind? Like, what are we supposed to do with $12? And he said, let's just hold on. Let's just wait. And over the next few months, our residual grew and I thought, man, this really works. And so when I said, I got to take a serious look at it, I went to a meeting. I saw the presentation, didn't fully understand it. But I knew enough about numbers, and I'm a former engineer, that I saw that the only way to really make real money was to get senior. So I came home, I looked at the compensation, I crunched the numbers, I went worst case scenario. I didn't believe all those big numbers that they showed, and back in the day, they used to show some huge, crazy numbers. And that none of that impresses me, and I thought, I just want to know, worst case scenario, if I'm like utterly, totally, pathetically miserable at this business, could I still make money if I was diligent? And I just kept crunching numbers. I saw, like, there's no way you couldn't be successful if you are diligent. And so I got to work, and I knew I needed to get to senior as quick as possible. So that one guy went to work. It took us 6 months to get to regional. We didn't light the world on fire, but it took us 16 days to get to senior. We put in 14 of the 18 people that we needed to get promoted. And I just knew, I didn't worry about who was going where and how. And, you know, I just was like getting people in as quick as possible because I knew we needed to get to senior. And so, you know, that was our first year. We were ignorance on fire. There was probably so many things that we did wrong and how we approached people and how we, I probably talked to people in the business. I was just, you know, working and figuring out as we went. And, you know, it was just an amazing first year.
Yeah. And I know, let me ask you this, Mary, when you started, you know, taking off and starting to realize the potential of the business, we start the business sometimes for different reasons than we do the business now. But I want to talk about the middle stage where you were fighting to make this business work. And then there was a point where, you actually promoted to executive consultant as a result of momentum. Can you talk about how that impacted how you saw this business? Because of the work that you did the previous 6 months and the previous year, you were in a position that I think really opened your eyes up to what this business was capable of. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we always say speed over strategy, and it really is true. You got to move as fast as you can. You got to get yourself to, if you're a marketing consultant, get yourself to regional as quick as possible. If you're regional, get yourself to senior as quick as possible. I knew just by looking at the numbers, the only chance we had at even replacing any decent income was that senior consultant. There's just not enough money as a marketing consultant or a regional consultant. So I wanted to get there as quick as possible. And so when you're doing something, often in a concentrated period of time, momentum does kick in. You just start to build some muscle memory. It's no different than, you know, if I were to pick up a basketball, and I am no athlete by any stretch of the imagination, and Jay, you probably know that, but if I were to pick up a basketball and I started doing free throw shots, if I did 2 free throw shots a day and I did that for 100 days in a row and I end up doing 200 free throw shots, I would be okay, right, after 100 days. So that's 200 free throws. But if I did 100 free throws in the matter of 3 or 4 days, I would be way better. Same amount of free throw shot. It's just it's concentrated. So I start to figure out what works, what doesn't work, and I start to figure out in a very short, concentrated time amount of time. And that's the same thing with the business. We started just really building. And when we got we were able to go full-time very quickly because we could see how the money was building. And I was already planning on getting out of the mortgage business. I hated it. I told Richard, even before Ambit came along, I was going to put out my resume and go back to engineering because I hated the mortgage industry so much. I was just done with it. And, you know, that year, I ended up getting pregnant with our third child, Zachary, and I've had complications with my pregnancy, and we had already built some momentum in the business. And even, you know, so I started to slow down a little bit because I knew that I had complicated pregnancies and I didn't want to risk my pregnancy. And so I started to slow down. But then when my doctor really put on the brakes is when he admitted me into the hospital for monitored bed rest. And I had been on bed rest before. My oldest daughter was a preemie. She was born 12 months early, 2.5 pounds at birth. My second child, I was on 3 months of bed rest at home, but I was upright. This third one, I was in the hospital, and I thought I would be in the hospital just a couple of weeks. I ended up in the hospital for 8 weeks. 8 weeks in the hospital, completely flat on my back. And what was really funny is we were reminiscing about this the other day, is I remember the nurses coming in the very first week we were in the hospitals when Richard and I got promoted executive. And I just remember them coming in to take my vitals. I'm like, go away. Like I'm on the phone. I'm busy. You'll come back later for vitals. And we got promoted and it was so great because people were working even though we weren't working. And during those months of bed rest, so 8 weeks in the hospital, another 8 weeks at home. So 4 months completely flat on my back, not able to work. And during that time, our residual kept growing because of what we put in place before. So what we realized is that it's not enough to build a business. You really have to build leaders who will take the ball and run with it, even if you don't. So a real mark of a real solid business is if you've got people below you that are leaders that are going to build the business with or without you. You know, so many people depend on their sponsor or their upline to show them what to do, to make it happen. And listen, having a great upline is really great. But the reality is, Ambit gives us so many tools that you don't need a great upline to have success in this business. And the reality is, we have such an incredible culture at Ambit that there's so many people who will support cross-line people if they're working. You know, there's so many people cross-line to me, and I know you're the same, Jay, that we work with that we don't make any money on because they're so committed. I mean, that was really how we got to be where we are. In the early days, Steve Thompson took us under his wing. Chris and Debbie Atkinson did. Brian McClure has been an incredible mentor, a great friend of ours. Regina Gale has done that. And so we've just had some really incredible mentors in the business that helped us along the way with no financial benefit. And so, you know, I think about that time, and during the time of building, we worked. I mean, people think, oh, you guys must have gotten lucky. No, we worked. I remember working, dialing down my mortgage business about 30, 40 hours a week and dialing up Ambit 30, 40 hours a week. So we were working 60 to 80 hours making it happen, and it's a lot easier to do that for a season.
Yes, and so, you know, Mary, You got the Thompson Leadership Award. You're talking about paying a price to be successful, and everyone has to pay a price to be successful in our business. I think, you know, we pointed out already, I mean, and have seen in a whole bunch of people, but we're hearing in what you're saying is that it's definitely worth it. Because I think sometimes people see this business and they see they put a little bit of effort in, but they don't really commit and and make it. They don't put both feet in. Can you talk about the difference between really being committed to this business and the fact is that it's worth it? It's just not just an opportunity to make more money, although it is. It's much more than that in terms of lifestyle and what it's done for your family. So maybe just talk about the difference between getting the business started and doing a few activities versus being all in and being excited about really making this thing work.
Yeah, I watch people from all walks of life, Jay, and you've got people who are socializers in the business. They aren't really building the business. They're just here for social. Then you've got people who are all in, going gung-ho, giving it everything they've got, and then everything in between. So you've got a whole gamut of people. What I can say is when you're really giving it your all, it really does pay off because it's more than just money, because money buys you options. You know, money doesn't buy you everything, but it does buy you a lot of options. And I just remember there were times when we were building that we missed a ton of stuff. We missed stuff for our kids and we missed opportunities. I remember I'm one of seven kids. My parents immigrated here from Vietnam, and I was born on Wake Island on the way to America from Vietnam. So in that time, probably, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago, my parents went on vacation for the very first time, and the whole family went. The whole family went, and we elected not to go because all the money we were making, we were reinvesting back in our business. And that was for a season. We were expanding our business. We were living off of our income, but we weren't increasing our quality of life. We didn't buy a new house. We didn't buy a new car. We didn't buy new clothes. It was just we were maintaining our standard of living and reinvesting in our business because we wanted to grow our business. And we did that for a season because we knew what would happen. And, you know, I think so many times people build this business, but they're not – they're asking their family to buy into the business, but they're not spending the kind of time that's required to actually build the business. They're dabbling, but they're not giving their family the fruit of their labor. So they're asking the family to sacrifice. They're asking to be away from the family, or they're just being away from the family. But the family's not experiencing any of the fruit of that time that they've now taken from the family. So I just remember just a couple of weeks ago, Regina Gale and I host a seminar called Women Empowering Women. And it's just, you know, really about women, a woman empowering another woman. It's we check pin levels at the door and we check our yellow jackets at the door. Nobody talks about any of that. And my daughter, Brittany, spoke for the first time at that event. And Brittany's now 20. We started the business when she was 10. And she shared about the difference that it made in for her and how it was for her. And there were a lot of things she understood and there were a lot of things she didn't understand, but she just knew that this was our business. And there were a lot of things that we missed, but she said, you know, when my parents were able to send me to London to go dance in the New Year's Day parade, that didn't suck. You know, that was awesome. And that my parents could pay for college tuition at a private Christian university without me worrying about how is my tuition going to be paid and do I need to work more hours? You know, that's the beauty of this business. I can see that. And so the time that we took from her, we're now giving back to her with options. You know, I think about my relationship with Richard today. I have a really good friend of mine who is a director in Mary Kay, and she drives a pink Cadillac. And, you know, she always tells me, why would someone not build Ambit? You know, like if I wasn't as knee deep in Mary Kay, I would do it, you know? And she took on a job for one of her dear friend's moms, just a temp until they found somebody. And she's like, I'm exhausted. Like, I never see my husband anymore. And I said, you know, that's the beauty of this business is that I see Richard so much that we have such an incredible quality in our marriage that I know would not be there if it wasn't for this business. When you don't have to worry about time and you don't have to worry about money, you know, the fact that we're able to homeschool our kids, you know, our son was struggling in school last year and I was tight with the principal. I mean, I saw her tonight at our church family fun fest and I was like, you know, hey, Michelle, we're seeing you. I mean, I was in her office like twice a week And finally, in March, we had to withdraw him from school so that he wouldn't be expelled from the second grade. And, you know, we homeschooled him. And it was only a possibility because of this business. And so I just want to, I guess I just want to impress upon people today that, you know, the money is great, but the options are even better. The flexibility you have with your family. You know, we came back, we were looking at going to the five-star. We were about to get ready to go on the five-star trip to Maui. And our oldest daughter was having fall break the following week, and we had talked about going to Destin, but didn't realize that they were back-to-back. And I was like, what do we do? And he said, we got to go. We got to go. We need the time with our kids. So we literally got back from the five-star trip, unpacked, repacked, and the next day left for Destin with our kids. And we literally were on vacation for 3 weeks that month, 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
And that's because of this business that we've got that flexibility. And, you know, it didn't come without a price, and it didn't come without working for something. But it's been, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you that, you know, do we have our days? Yes. You know, life still happens and you still have upsets. But when you've got flexibility to deal with it, it's just nothing. There's, you just can't compare. I mean, it's amazing.
Mary, in my experience in the business, especially in the beginning, to get the business off the ground, to go senior and start making significant money, the majority of the issue is activity. It's not, people sometimes think it's them having the skill set. There are certain skill sets. But what can you talk about or encourage people that it's worth ramping up? What do they have to do to get to the senior level right away? And what can you do to encourage people to make that happen for themselves?
You know, you do have to have activity, and there is a particular skill set that you can learn. You're not going to learn it all. The only way to learn is by going out there and doing it. So the only way to learn how to shoot some free throws is to get out on the court and shoot some free throws. Now, where you're going to really be effective is if you have a coach watching you. And so some of you have great uplines that can work with you, and some of you don't. You know, we didn't have that. We didn't have, you know, someone who could tell us exactly what we need to do. And so when we were out and about, how we became such dear friends with Steve Thompson and Brian McClure and Chris and Debbie Atkinson is I just remember always making sure that we got invited to the meeting after the meeting, or we found out where they were going, and I'd invite myself. I'd just show up. And I stayed as close as possible to the highest paid leader that was there at dinner after the meeting. And so if you're in an area where you're not doing that right now, you got to do that. That's one of the ways that we stay close to our team. That's one of the ways that we kind of have our heartbeat on what's happening with our team. And I'm not talking about just, you know, what's happening in their business. I want to know what's happening in their life. You know, when I, you know, when one of my senior consultants is really struggling in her marriage, I need to know that so I can support them in that. And I'm a woman of faith, so I'm going to be praying for her and praying for breakthrough in their marriage, because I know when the home front is in disarray, so is their business. You know, when you've got stuff happening in the home, your mind isn't in the game. And so as leaders in this business, you got to know that. You know, one of our mentors a long time ago said, you know, when you sponsor someone, you sponsor their whole life. You know, it's not just their business, it's their whole life. And some of our dearest friends are, you know, from the business, like UJ and, you know, Regina Gale and Brian McClure, like relationships that I say are family. They're not just friends.
Yep.
And so, you know, what we did in the early days is we had a lot of activity. But we also had high communication with whoever we could talk to make sure that we were on the right path. I remember one day, we were in New York, and I had a guy in our business who was just bringing in people like crazy. But the guy would never come to a business presentation. He never came to us when we were in town. He never did a three-way call. He would like do nothing right except he was bringing in people. And I told Steve, I'm like, Steve, what do I do with this guy? Like, I just want to write him off. He's like, oh, no, absolutely not. Do not write him off. Just keep encouraging him to keep doing what he's doing and scoop up the people he brings in and see if you can plug them in the system. And that's what I did. And it altered the experience of that particular leg in that team. And it altered our effectiveness. And had it not been for that little bit of coaching and just that relationship we have with Steve, because we were around, that wouldn't have happened. And so a lot of times what I see is people come in the business and they take a lot of action, but they never get coaching. And so they never get better at what they do. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping to get a different result. That's insanity. And so when you've got massive action, you have to have massive coaching. You have to be in regular communication with somebody. And then the other thing that I see a lot of people do is they're in massive action and they're in massive coaching, but with massive numbers of people. So they're hearing all sorts of things from all sorts of people all over the map. And so they don't have a clear path or trajectory to go. And I see, you know, I just want to warn, especially new people, you're going to have a lot of quote unquote experts in the business that seem like they have a lot of success. But what you really want to notice is how many people do they have following them? You know, where are they in the business? And you're going to get coaching from people that have no business coaching you. And so you just have to be really careful about that. I see that happening a lot, and it's hard to know who to follow, who not to follow. But when you're, I can tell you, in any major market where there's a good, great local business presentation, find out where the meeting after the meeting is and be around some of the leaders. And, you know, in our business, more is caught than is taught. You know, there's only so much we can teach you from the front of the room, but there's a lot that you learn just hearing what other people are doing and hearing what's happening around. So that's just always my recommendation.
Yeah, it's awesome because you do need, like you said, a mentor and somebody who's financially vested. Instead of listening to, it's good to listen to a lot of different people and to learn. But ultimately, when you're making decisions, you've got to have someone who's leading you, who's financially vested in you and cares about you, and there's no confusion there, you know. And the association's really important. A friend of mine, senior consultant, who is a good friend of mine on my team, gave me a quote a long time ago about getting help. He says, the squeaky gate gets the oil. And I love that. I think it's a really good quote. So a lot of times people think, you know what, Maryam Waito's too busy. Maryam Waito is busy, but she's never going to be too busy. And I know that. You're never going to be too busy for someone who really wants to make this business work for them and their family. So I think it was awesome that you mentioned that we, it's so important to get coaching and to associate when you can. So like after a meeting, to spend time with the most important, the most successful person that you can reach out to. So I think that's absolutely awesome. So, you know, on the topic of association, so how important are the functions? I know we've got Power Trip coming up right away. Obviously we've got Simulcast. So how important are the functions, and not only going to, how do you help people? Obviously, everyone on this call, a lot of people on the call are going to that. But how can people on this call also get larger numbers of people to follow them to that? How do you promote these events?
So first answer is the functions are everything. I mean, the events are everything. There is not one single event that we don't go to unless there's something catastrophic that happens. And I don't think we've ever missed anything except the first ambition. We had to go back and forth because my brother was getting married that weekend. So I went to as much of the convention as I could, and I had Richard go to as much of the wedding festivities that he needed to be at, and he went to Ambition more than the wedding weekend, and it's that important. You know, you just have to be there, and even like Power Trip, you know, the reason why we were reminiscing about my bed rest time was that at that Power Trip, spring 2008, I begged my doctor to let me go to Power Trip. I wore him out for months until he finally let me go. And he said, you've got to be on a cot. You've got to be on a wheelchair. You cannot sit up. You cannot stand. I mean, you have got to be rigid. And I said, I promise I'll do it. And I just remember Steve Thompson leading, doing some training at Power Trip, and he was stopped mid-sentence, and he was like, Mary, is that you? What are you doing on a cot? What are you doing here? And, you know, it just was really, I knew I needed to be there. I needed to be there because we had already promoted executive. This was the business that was going to set our family financially free, and I did not want to miss one of those big events. And the back in the day, the events were so few and far between. And, you know, the thing with Power Trip is you're never going to have another venue where you're going to see and hear from Jerry Thompson and Chris Chambliss open Q&A. You're just never going to experience that. And I've been to every single Power Trip that we've ever had, and I can tell you, no two Power Trips are the same. You're going to hear something different at every single Power Trip. And it seems like the questions get better and better. Every year, they just get better. And so, you know, how do you get people to go? You invite them. You literally have to call them and say, hey, let's go to Power Trip. Let's get you registered right now. And you get them registered right now. Why we have so many people registered for Ambition and Simulcast is I make phone calls. And while I'm on the phone with them, I collect their credit card information. I go to my Power Zone. I look up their C number and I register them right then and there. And that's how I get people to go is I have to, once people have paid their ticket, paid their registration to go, they're now committed. Anything short of that is just lip service. I mean, somebody can say, yeah, I'm coming. But until they're registered, they're not coming. You know, they're just not coming. You know, we taught, you know, Regina Gale, one of my best friends in Ambit, getting married in Maui in December. And there are so many people who said, they're going. I'm like, until they book their airfare, they ain't going. You know, it's when they buy that ticket is when it's real. And so that's right. Where you've got to get people registered to go. You got to take away every barrier. And I think when people understand the importance of it, and make the most out of it. You know, when you get to Power Trip, I'm always telling my team, go talk to some people you've never met before. Go sit with other leaders. Go listen and learn and soak it in and make some new contacts. I mean, that's really, you know, we always wonder, Jay, like, how do we all become friends? It must have been at a Power Trip. We must have met at a Power Trip and just hung out and had lunch and breakfast and, you know, time after Power Trip. I mean, just those relationships happen organically, but it only happens at the event. I mean, that's where you build incredible relationships and friendships that'll last a lifetime. And so, you know, if you're not registered for Simulcast, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not serious about this business. I mean, it's just maybe there's a financial issue and maybe you're waiting for a paycheck. I get that. But if you're not planning on going or being there, at least live broadcasting or doing a watch party, you're not serious. It's the easiest event to attend is Simulcast. You literally could roll over in bed, grab your cell phone, log in, roll back over in bed and watch it laying down in bed. Like, it is so easy to attend Simulcast. So if you're not doing that, you're just selling yourself out. I mean, I just think about all the promos that they're going to run. And then Power Trip, if you're within driving distance to Power Trip, I mean, this is probably going to be one of our most expensive Power Trips because we're missing our daughter Vivian's birthday. We are flying out the day of her birthday, and it is going to cost us, I guarantee you that. But, you know, we talked to her. We said, hey, it's Power Trip, and she knows, you know, that Brian McClure hosts it, and Brian's like family to us. And she's like, it's okay, just go. It's fine. I'm good. It's fine. And so we've had to rearrange what we always do for her birthday, and she's understanding of it, and she knows that this business gives her a lifestyle that she wouldn't have. She sees her friends and their parents that are working, and she understands that lifestyle. She didn't want that lifestyle, you know, so she's willing to pay the price that she needs to pay to have the life that she has. So, you know, you gotta get people registered. You gotta help them register. You gotta help them tear down those barriers because it can make all the difference in the world. One event can completely change the trajectory of your business forever.
So you know, another thing that I know all of us leaders we all read, right? Leaders are readers. Readers are leaders. We know that getting involved. So what are some of the books that you recommend to people to read in order to change their mindset? Because that's really the way that this business works. You change your mindset and then they change, and your activity changes. The quality and the quantity of your activity changes by changing your mindset. So what are some of the books that you like to recommend for people to read, and how important is it to read these personal development books?
It's everything. I mean, personal growth and development is everything in our business because you become someone that people want to be around. And when you become someone that people want to be around, it's a lot easier to recruit. I mean, the reality is People don't want to work with you if they don't like you. In our business, they get to choose. And so I'm sitting in my office. I've got a ton of books that are, I've got books that are always my go-to, books that are referenced. And then I've got a whole stack of books that are to be read. Like I've got a whole stack of books. And then I've got a stack of books that I have on hand to give away because they're just that good. And they're new books that I always have because they're my go-to books. And I always have one in case somebody is in need of that particular book. But, you know, a lot of people don't know, but I am naturally a very negative person. That is my natural bent. And I am by birth and how my makeup is, I'm very shy and introverted. Like I'm very, how I was born, I was very self-conscious of myself. Like up until I started to get into personal growth and development, I was not comfortable with my own skin. I was not comfortable speaking in front of people. If I went into a crowded room, you know, I would just kind of sit in the corner until someone spoke to me. And even to this day, when I'm in new circles, like I have to kind of muster up the courage to talk to somebody. It's not natural for me. I think people see me on stage and they hear me on the calls and they think, oh, she's a natural. This is not natural. I've had to work towards it. And then, God has really blessed me with opportunities to really hone that skill. And he's blessed me with some gifts that I've really grabbed hold of in the latter part of my life. But I mean, I really have to work on that because, you know, people who are really closest to me know that I can have a short temper. I can get kind of punchy and short, you know, but I work hard. You know, one of my favorite books is the 4-8 principle. It's the 4:8 principle by Tommy Newberry. And it's based on Philippians 4:8. And it's about having a joyful life. Like having a joy-filled life. And for me, it was life-changing because there were days where I did not have joy. I could not grasp it, and it has a lot of great how-tos and tools that you can use. And one of my favorite things in that book is it talks about the Oreo principle. You know, there's some things in your life that you know is, like, not good. I know that when I'm in Houston with my family for more than 4 days at a time, it's not good. Like by that fourth, fifth day, it starts to be kind of toxic and it starts to get negative. And so you kind of, the Oreo principles, you got to like Oreo those times where you know you're going to have some trying times. You make sure you do something that's going to really energize you. And then as soon as that event is over, you make sure you have something scheduled that's also going to energize you. It's kind of like containing it like a biohazard. And so that's one of my favorite books. Recently, I shared an Ambition, Some Stand Still by Stephen Furtick. Tony Procopio had recommended it again, and I had read it. I had bought it years ago, never read it. Rhinoceros Success, amazing book. I finished it on a Sunday morning before church. One of my all-time favorites that I've bookmarked, and it's got like all sorts of, it's tattered, it looks aged, and got all sorts of markings in it, is The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. It's an amazing book. Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy. One of my favorites, and this is probably for a lot of women. There's men too. It's not written for women, but it was really written for people in ministry, and I'm not in ministry, but it was so amazing. It was called Leading on Empty, Refilling Your Tank and Renewing Your Passion by Wayne Cordero, and it revolutionized how I saw myself and how I was doing life. And that's one of my all-time favorites. It's bookmarked and tattered, just like 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. I just love the book. And right now, what I'm reading is Love and Respect by something Egerichs. I don't remember the name. I've owned that book for 6 years because a spiritual mentor of mine recommended it, and it has changed how I see my husband, I think it's even making our marriage even better just because I'm altering some little things. It just talks about men need respect, their number one need, and women need love, their number one need. So it just changed that. So I could go on and on. I mean, I'm a voracious reader. I'm always reading. Unfortunately, I've become one of those people that will read more than one book at a time. And I used to make fun of those people because I thought that was the most bizarre thing. And I've turned into one of those people. But, the thing about reading is any area of your life that you're trying to improve in, it is going to bleed. That improvement that you're focused on is going to bleed into all areas of your life. Because what happens is you start to be very hyper aware of the things you're saying, the things you're doing. When I was reading Love and Respect, you know, Richard and I got into a season where we were just really weren't seeing eye to eye. And that was the summer and we were rushing for it to get to national. And it was just kind of ugly. And I really slowly read through that book, Love and Respect. And I started to really be aware of areas where I was disrespecting my husband and it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't intentional. And then I started to look, you know, I have men in my business. Where are areas where I may say things in a way that may disrespect them, where they may feel disrespected? And right. though they're not my husband, I want my leaders, I want my team to feel that they're respected, that they matter, that they count. And so even though I wasn't reading that book for business, it was bleeding into my business because of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a natural thing. And, oh, one book that everybody has to read is As a Man Thinketh. Classic. Mm-hmm. Classic by James yeah. Allen.
That's awesome. Mary, you know, you guys, you and Richard inspire me. And, you know, as you're telling me, you know, about reading and every time we get together, you inspire me because you're always stretching yourself. When I'm even listening to you talk, you're always pushing yourself and stretching yourself and striving for higher ground. And I know that you want that for everyone. So, you know, it's encouraging even having this conversation. I really appreciate it so much. You know, maybe just in closing, could you, you know, everyone on this call, everyone is in a different place in their life and in their business and whatnot. What can you say to maybe encourage people and empower them to just ramp up and to strive for more personally and professionally in this business? What can you do just to maybe encourage people to do that?
You know, I don't ever want anybody to hear where we've walked and be think that they just can't do that, that they just don't have the tools, that they just can't. And I think one of the biggest things you've got to get under control is your own self-talk. Every single one of us can get a little bit better in any area. And that little bit better each day can just do like a complete domino effect in your life. And nobody's perfect. We still have struggles. We still have, I mean, in our house, we have high intensity, like high passion, high intensity. We have a lot of fun in our house. We do a lot of laughing. We do a lot of intense working on ourselves, and it's been an incredible season in our family. And I can just say, you know what? You're never going to be perfect. You're never going to arrive. You're never going to have all the answers, but you can always be a little better. And so pick up a book. Read a page a day if that's all you have time for. I know what it's like to get up early when it's still dark outside, to leave the house and drive and sit through an hour, 2 hours of traffic, to get to a job, to give it all you've got, to be mentally and physically exhausted and just be tapped out, and then to even think about making calls or going to a meeting. Listen, I know what it's like, but for a season, you can stretch yourself. Sit at the office for another 30 minutes. Make a few phone calls. Don't leave yet. Don't wait. Don't say, I'm going to sit in traffic for another 2 hours. When I get home, I'm going to make calls. You're not going to want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it. But sit at your office, make a couple of calls, be around other people. You know, even if you don't feel like going to the meeting, being around people who are positive, who are up to something, who have hope and are speaking words of hope will make all the difference in the world for you. And so be really careful about the people who chirp in your ear, because some of the closest people to you are really killing your dreams, and they don't intend to. They think they're helping you, but just be really mindful of that, because you've got to protect that. And none of us are going to arrive. None of us are ever going to get there. And it always looks greener on the other side. It always looks like somebody's life is better. But if you look at where you are, make it the best that you've got. Give it everything you've got. Read something that's going to encourage you. And if you're starting a book and it's one of the I highly recommend it and you're just not feeling it, move on. Find another book. You know, I used to be one that when I started a book, I had to finish it, and I'd finish the book and be like, that was a total waste of time. Don't waste your time. You know, just just, you know, a great way to get through a book is to find someone who has an interest in that area and read it together and talk about it and share the breakthroughs that you're experiencing and really dive into it. You know, the life is too short. I mean, this is an incredible business, and we're 24 consultants away from national, and we are going to work like our hair's on fire. Richard's already told Chris Chambliss that he would be pinning us at Power Trip, and it is a stretch.
Wow.
And we still got a ways to go, and 24 seems so close, but is still so far away. And but we're gonna keep going for it. We're just gonna keep stretching ourselves, and we're just keep putting it out there, and we're just gonna keep working. And you know, you gotta just strive to get to that next level as best as you can, and give it for a season. I would give it everything you've got just for a season, whether it be 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. Sit down with your family, get their buy-in, and just give it everything you've got. Put things on the wayside that you can reschedule for later. You know, sit down with your family, have that conversation, say, this is a family business. We're all going to sacrifice together and make it happen. And I'm telling you, the rewards are so great. I can't even imagine life without this business, because it is that rich.
Mary, thank you so much. Thanks for your time. I really, you know, I enjoyed it so much. And even though we talk personally, it's just this format I really appreciate. So, Brian, I want to thank Brian McClure. I want to thank Bear Gordon for asking me to pitch in tonight and to host. I really appreciate the opportunity to do that. And I hope it was really helpful for everyone. Thank you so much, Mary. And I hope it was helpful for everyone. Don't forget, Friday the 11th of November, We've got a lunch presentation at Power Trip. Brian McClure is going to be there. Ray is going to be speaking. Mary Amueto, Tony Procopio is going to be part of that. We're going to get testimonials from Tim and Jim Mason and Norbert and Tim Devine and maybe some others. So you don't want to miss that lunch presentation. Start talking to people and bring them there. Mary, again, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm gonna unmute the call, and everyone can thank Mary for this time. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at Power Trip.
All callers are muted.